Just for a few brief moments, I'd just like to tell you within a few minutes something of what the Lord is doing in Bolivia through the gospel. Years ago, in 1951, when we first went out to Bolivia, it was a different country to what it is today. It was hard to preach the gospel. Opposition everywhere. Roman Catholicism held sway, and the priest was like the main man in every town. Well, now then, during the last years, things have changed tremendously. I would think, in my own experience, when it has started was when Pope John gave that order that Catholics could read the Bible. I think he signed Catholicism's death warrant, more or less, when he did that. Because the Bible is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believes it. Before that, when we used to sell Bibles, the priest would gather them up and make a bonfire of them, if he could. You know, he didn't get every one of them. Many times there was some that he missed out on. And we praise God that souls have been saved through some of those too. I remember when I was down in Bermejo, not so long ago, I met a brother, and I was starting to ask him where he come from. And when he told me the area where he was in, where he was brought up in, it interested me. And he told a story there. He said, you know, one time there was a couple of young foreigners came through there with a couple of mules. And he said they sold Bibles around, and it was Easter. And he said the priests came along to celebrate the Easter Mass, and he said he was that angry when he saw these Bibles and tracts around, he straight away started burning them, and the people started drinking. And that night a school teacher went down to these two young foreigners and told them that things were getting a bit hot, better for them to get out of town. So they stacked their boxes and things on their two mules, and they set off in the bit of moonlight there was down the old riverbed. And he said, you know, the priest tried to burn all those Bibles. But he said there was, my auntie had bought a Bible and she hid it. And she said, through that Bible, she was saved. And he said, that's how our family came to know the Lord. There's assembly there today. Well, you know, it struck a chord in me. And I remember when two fellows, one named Frank Haggerty and another fellow named Ned Mahag, practicing Spanish, had been on that trip. I remember the night they cleared out of that place too. We got down the river and we tried to find something to tie our mules up to, but we had to tie them up to our leg and try to sleep. And it was freezing cold up in those mountains. Now then, what God can do through a Bible is tremendous. Right throughout Bolivia today, our dear brother John is here, and he could witness to what I say is the truth, that you wouldn't say there was a great revival in the land, but there's a building up gradually, all the time. People are being saved. Assemblies are being built up, and new assemblies are being formed. For instance, in Cochabamba, where John and Christine labored these last couple of years, I remember when there was no assembly in that place. And now that is a very large assembly there today. And there's another one also going in the town, another one further out. In the city of La Paz, I remember when there was no assembly in La Paz. And today there are four in the La Paz city. Down in Tarija, I remember the days when we preached there and someone had to guard the door while you preached the gospel because someone had come in and threw a bucket of water over you. I remember one night they came in with some papers and rags and things soaked in kerosene and set fire to them and threw them in on the few of us that were in there. And that's how it used to be in those days. But in Tarija, the old hall that is there. They're pulling it down this year and building a greater one. Mrs. Ron Randall, widow of Brother Ron Randall, Mavis, had a letter from her. She says, if only Ron could have seen it. He died last year, the year before, I should say. She said there was 12 baptized, and a month later another 6. Isn't that lovely? To see that in a hard old place like Tarija. I suppose Tarija and Sucre are the two hardest spots in Bolivia, but God is blessing in them all. Up in the area where we have been laboring, it's a joy to see the work of the Lord going ahead. Our brother Manuel Torres, who does the river work now, in a little place called Puerto Rico, where if everybody was home, there might be 200 people in town. That's all the size of the place is. But he works up and down the rivers. These people live in terrific isolation. I went with him the other year on a trip. 24 days and journey, and we visited 32 places. That's all. Some of them might have had one family. Some might have 3 or 4. If they came to a baraka, which is a big place, there might be the boss there, and he might have, I suppose, 10 or so seringueros or rubber cutters that work for him. One here, another one half an hour further in there, another one an hour out over here, another one 2 hours out over here. That's all it is. But last year, at their Bible study week that they have there, when Manuel brings in the believers from those places, there were 60 adults that did that was with us in the Bible study week. And there was 40 children and my wife and another dear young brother, Pedro Torres, had a little camp for those 40 kids. And did they enjoy it too? They're rebuilding their hall in May this year in the will of the Lord. It's too small. He said, Manuel tells me of a Sunday. Now then, you can get 60 or 70 people into that hall. That's where they're a bit crushed in, of course. But in a little town of 200, he says, we can fill this of a Sunday night and of a Sunday morning. That's lovely, isn't it? In Cobija, the week I left, there was 243 at our Sunday school. It's only a town of 6,000 people, and there's 2 assemblies in the town. Just let us praise the Lord for what the gospel is doing, what the Lord is doing in saving precious souls. Now then, that's only a little bit of Bolivia. I don't know much of the country because we're stuck mostly in the one area where we are. Now then, just with that, I'll go on and we'll preach. We'll have a little message here from the Lord for you. The first verse I would like to read to you is in Luke chapter 13 and verse 24. Luke 13 and verse 24. Now then, this is a verse which I feel I must read to you tonight. Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now then, it seems tremendous that our Lord would respond with these words when the disciples ask him in the verse before, are there few that be saved? Are there few that be saved? And now he puts it up as it is a barrier. Strive to enter in at the strait gate, because many will seek to enter in and will not be able. Now then, I'm sure that everyone that is in this building tonight would want to go to heaven. Isn't that right? You wouldn't be here if you didn't. You wouldn't be here. But will you get there? That's the thing. Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many will seek to enter in and will not be able. Why is this? Why is this? A lot say, well, next week. Some will say, well, I'm a bit too young yet. And they go on like that. Death may take you tonight. Others may say, well, I'd like to be saved, but what will Mum and Dad say? I remember a woman saying to me years ago in Porvenir. She says, listen, I want to be saved, but she said, I'm going to wait until my grandfather dies, because she said he's such a strict Catholic. She said it'd kill him if I got saved now. She isn't saved yet. That's over 20 years ago. I hope she does get saved one day. And then there's other people, and the devil will do everything in his power to stop you from getting saved. Well, if I'm saved, I won't be able to do this, I won't be able to do that, but I want to be saved. And then you might be someone like I was. I wanted to be saved when I was a boy going to Sunday school. And I was taught the scriptures from my youth. Mum used to sing us to sleep with a chorus. That's my first remembrance. And we used to kneel down there beside Mum, and she taught us to pray. We did it like parrots, you know. But Mum taught us to pray. And then when we could read a bit, she taught us to read the Bible. And I don't think that I couldn't go to bed without praying, because I was scared to. And every night I'd ask the Lord to save me. To save me. And I went on for long, long years. I remember one day at Sunday school, Miss Ethel Ginn, she was in those days, she's Mrs. Hazelwood now, she told us that about hell. And I remember at the end of this, I was about 5 or 6 years of age, I said to her, I said, Ethel, if you go to hell, can you get out? And she assured me, you'd never get out. You'd never get out. I went home. Those days we had to get the kindling, you know, for the old wood fire. My job was to cut the chips. You kids know nothing about that, do you? And I was out there, the old Woody, splitting these chips. And I got sick. And you know what it was for? From? I was that scared of hell. And I went inside and I vomited. And Mum gave me a dose of castor oil. That cured all diseases, didn't it? But it didn't cure soul sickness. And I was scared to tell anybody I wanted to be sick. A dear brother once said to me, Ned, are you saved? I said, I don't know, Mr. Peatling. He said, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? There was never a time I didn't. I said, yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, well, then you're saved. So I told people I was saved. But God never let me believe it. But I was scared from that day to ever tell anybody I wasn't saved. I remember that great old preacher, Bruce Todd. Some of the older ones will remember him. Why could he preach the gospel? I never met another one like him. And he'd give an invitation if anybody wanted to be saved to come in, to come back. I'd get out with my mates because I was scared to stop behind with them. Try and get away from them and sneak back. I did that a couple of times to get back in to see the door shut. Terrible, isn't it? Strive to enter in. Until one day, my elder brother died, and as I saw him, a young man there of 18 years of age, dead, I knew if I was in his place, I'd be in hell. God only knows the agony of my soul. Going home after he was buried, I was chipping corn in the paddock. I told the Lord I couldn't go another step further. And I cried out to him there in the middle of that cornfield. I thought of that woman whom the Lord had said, is it meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto dogs? I quoted that verse to the Lord and I said, I'm like one of those, you rejected me. I asked the Lord, do everything to save me. What was ever wrong with me? He showed me then that day that it was just if I could only simply trust in him. So leaning on that old chippewa, I asked him to save me. And he did. And he did. I believed in him that day. I accepted him as my Savior. Are you striving to enter in at the straight gate? Just let us read a verse in Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah is often said to be the gospel, full of the Old Testament. Isaiah tells us about the Lord's coming. He tells us how He was going to be born. He tells us of how He was going to die. He tells us what His name would be. He tells us everything about Him. And He tells us many things. And here prophetically, He utters the words of the Lord. And here in chapter 61, and He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to them that are blind, to abound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes and oil for joy and for mourning, the garments of peace for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified." Turn now to Luke's Gospel again. Chapter 4. Our Lord Jesus Christ was 30 years of age. Do you know, we become a man when we're 21 years of age. I said to my old dad when I was 21 years of age, "Well, Dad, I'm 21 now, I can do what I like." He said, "While you're under my roof, you do what I like." Good on him. I wish there were more dads like that today. I only said it in fun. I loved him, every bit of him. And the Lord had become 30 years of age. He had to be 30 years of age as a Jew to be take part in any public ministry. So the Lord comes out at 30 years of age and He goes forth. Right according to the law. Did everything right. And we see Him, He goes down to Jordan. He's baptized by John there in the River Jordan. The devil takes Him out into the wilderness and proves that there wasn't a sin in Him. Why, well, the old devil's done some wonderful job, hasn't he? He proved to everybody there wasn't a sin in him. He tried to make him sin, and all he did was prove he wasn't a sinner. And then we read verse 16, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.'" This is Isaiah 61, the verse we read. Now, I want you to take notice of what he says here. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. He gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Oh, what a wonderful thing is prophecy and fulfillment, isn't it? "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." But did you note something there? He stopped halfway through verse 2 of Isaiah 61 to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and he closed the book. He didn't finish it. He didn't finish it. So now he's coming back again. And I fully believe that he'll go again. He'll lift up the book of Isaiah 61. He'll read the rest of the verse. "The day of vengeance of our God." Praise God, it hasn't come yet. It hasn't come yet. And tonight we live in that acceptable year of the Lord. And God wants you to be saved. Whatever the obstacle is, whatever it may be, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Put it to one side. He has come to this earth that you might be saved. He said he has come to preach the gospel to the poor. And everyone here tonight is spiritually poor. You could never buy your salvation even if you was a millionaire. It's free, but it's not cheap. It cost heaven's best to preach the gospel to the poor. You can be saved, but you've got to come with nothing in your head. Nothing. Because you couldn't buy it to preach the gospel to you. It's yours tonight for accepting it and saying thank you. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I cried to him as a brokenhearted young man, and he saved me. If you cry to him from the depths of your heart, he said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He never cast me out, and he won't cast you out. Come to him right now to preach deliverance to the captives. Has old Satan got a hold of you? He's bound you. I remember once a woman come to me, she said, Don Nitch, she said, I want you to go to my house and invite my husband to go along to your meetings. I want him to become an evangelista, they call him, a gospeler. I said, well, I'll certainly do that, but I want you to come too. She said, I don't need it, he's a drunk. She didn't think he needed it. She needed it. She's still not saved. She used to work in the post office. And neither is her husband, the old drunk's not saved. If she gave the example to him, he might get saved too, mightn't he? To preach deliverance to the captives. Captive by Satan, captive at his will. He can release you. You can't get rid of it in your own power, but in the power of Christ. You can live a life for him. If you've got him before you. All-powerful one, the captive. The recovering of sight to the blind. I can't see it. Have you ever had anybody say that? I can't see it. A lot of us preachers, well, you just repeat this prayer after me and you'll see it. And then we get them to repeat the prayer and we clap them on the back and shake their hands and tell them they're saved. They're still as blind as ever. That's the problem, isn't it? You wonder why they go back then, don't you? Because they've never ever had their eyes opened. The recovering of sight to the blind. You've got eyes in your head, but you're blind spiritually if you're not saved. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and he will save you. To set at liberty them that are bruised. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Battered about. Oh, God can save to the uttermost. And one brother says he can save to the guttermost. It's true, he can do it to you. Them that are bruised, and he can change a man and make him into a saint. What a sight to see. Living epistles read and known of all men. Do you want to be saved tonight? He can say to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. It's fulfilled in your ears. And you know it's gone right on to 1990. I wonder how much longer it's going to last. 1990. And still we're in that acceptable year of the Lord. It's as fresh as if it was yesterday. That our Lord Jesus Christ died for you. Will you receive him tonight? If you want to be saved, if you want, we can't save you, it's only God can do that. But if you want some explanation or something, and you'd like to stop behind, you're welcome to do so. Or if you would like, say, I want someone to visit me. Well, I know some men and women here. And if I told them they'd visit you tomorrow, or whatever day you say, you let us know, will you? if they can preach that, show you the gospel clearer. If there's some problem you've got, you may have a problem. But if it's clear to you, or even right where you sit now, accept him into your heart and be saved for his name's sake. Amen.